everybody equal grounds and an understanding where to go, what to do, and when to be, and all that sort of thing. And this is the first time in NECANN we're bringing that to the table. So we want to be there and support the people and set up some very predictable values for rank advancement and recognition. How many of you got the, is there anybody who got the cookware? Does anybody would like to get the cookware?
Yes.
Did you hear how you get it?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
How is that?
Three people go senior in your downline, then one more, then, what is it, a second level senior from one of them.
In how long?
3 months, till April 30th.
So if you got one senior a month for 2 months, and then the third month you got one senior on top of another senior, you get free 850. Sound feasible?
This call's cutting in and out.
It is? Am I cutting in?
You were, for me.
Yeah. I was?
Yeah, it cut in and out.
Star 4, Jerry.
You know, the problem is, let me check here. Am I automatically gaining?
You're gaining, but I think some people are weak. Why don't we all just hit star 4?
Would we all consider ourselves to be a pack of stud muffins if we all qualified for winning that thing?
Oh,
absolutely.
A cooking party.
It would be so cool to just take that and make a shot at it. Wouldn't it be neat if every person on here got that?
Almost.
That'd be a cool thing.
Please.
One more time, please. Is that what you said?
That'd be a cool thing if I could get it, or if anybody could get it. But we all could get it.
That's exactly on track for what you're trying to do with your run for silver. Your Pathfinder graduation. You pretty much got it. You got to have three silvers or seniors first line. Might as well get three new ones. And you're far deeper than that. If you graduate from this, you got it. Ooh, let's do it. I'd say that sounds like a great idea.
Mm-hmm. And can't we qualify for more than one of those incentives? I mean, let's just go for the bracelet, too. I want that bracelet, Jerry. I don't have a platinum bracelet. Or, no, it's a two-tone bracelet.
Did we lose Jerry? Hello?
Jerry, are you still there?
We lost him.
Oh, my gosh, Jerry fell in a hole. Well, now, does anybody have... does anybody have any of these items? I have the cookware. It's worth working really hard. Go get your seniors. Let me tell you, it'll change your way of cooking.
You have the cookware?
Uh-huh. It's awesome. Absolutely awesome.
I totally wouldn't get excited about any other cookware.
Well, I'd kind of like to win another set for free.
That'd be good, too.
That'd be better than buying it, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I went to the library on their laptop because my slow dial-up doesn't watch. I can't watch any video, anything on this here. And I saw the video on the cookware. I got so excited right there in the library, and they're all looking at me like, Andrea, what? You know, it's fun to go. I have to go to the library to watch some of this stuff. And so I was telling this gal next to me all about it as I was doing the preview. You know. Now, who knows what you have to do to get three seniors? Let's make sure everybody knows that. While we're waiting on Uncle Jerry to come back.
No, I've come back three times. Got dropped three times in a row.
Do you need me to wire you in on that one?
You don't like me.
Okay. Can everyone tell us what you have to do to get three seniors? Who's got some seniors?
Yeah, I have a senior... I think you have to do, from the qualify for senior, they have to at some point have purchased 500 personal volume at some point. point. Then they also have to have 1,500 in 1 month. Obviously, easy to do that if you do that 500, or if you just have a business builder who gets the at least the wellness starter, wellness home starter pack. They're going to be seen automatically if they are on auto ship. Also, they have to have the 100 PV auto ship each month. But you get three people doing that, and one more in depth, and there you go.
That's how you do it. That's how NECAN figures it. And now, I guess the esoteric question is, how do you get one? Audrey, how did you get one?
Relationship. just connecting with somebody first. It's all about getting to know them, I think, and wanting them to join your team.
And did you have an idea what she wanted?
No. As a matter of fact, I thought that she was the last person in the world that would want this. I just had invited her to a wellness preview that was going on, and at that point she said that it would have hurt her feelings if I wouldn't have asked her. So, oh, really? I didn't know that. So, yeah, big surprise.
Anyone else to sponsor a senior?
This is JW. I've got two.
What did it take?
The volume and their desire to do it.
Did your two seniors come in because they wanted to build a business or just because they wanted to get that much product?
Combination.
Good. So one was one and one was the other?
Yeah.
Here's something for us all to consider. If someone was at, if someone invited you over to their house and they wanted you to take a look at some really cool new products they had, or you had a little extra money. Is somebody dialing out or is that me?
That's crazy.
I don't know what's going on. But you had a little extra money. Your family is building up a little every month. And you were going to go to an investment party where you're going to figure out with a bunch of friends what to invest in. Which would you rather go to?
The personal investment party.
And Andrew Lynn, what would you rather go to? One where you're looking at products or whether you're going into an investment party?
I hate parties. I like one-on-one.
Okay.
It would really have to motivate me to get in a party situation, because that's how, when I was 19, I got saddled into this $35 Mary Kay kit that I felt like an absolute idiot walking out the door with.
Well, let's say we were going to do it like just two friends getting together, and what you wanted to do is begin to start investing in houses.
Oh, yeah. Definitely the investment over the product.
And wouldn't we all agree that that's probably where we'd want to be?
Yes.
What are you using your presentation or wellness preview to show the investment in NECAN? Does anybody have something?
Well, I used what we talked about when I had the presentation the other day.
And did you get any results from that?
Oh, yeah. He was like, that, remember when we had the three-way, he said the 30% or 35% return on your $1,000? And that's what he was talking about. I said, I basically laid it out to him, one bracelet or one necklace a month would return you this amount of money. That would be just right there. It would be 30% on your $1,000 versus your, 3% on a savings account and then 15% say in the stock market, so you can double your investment just by selling a few necklaces on your $1,000.
Clear on what he was talking about? I don't think we talked about group. Grab a piece of paper and watch this. If you make three lines from the top down to about halfway through your paper, now you don't have to have very long. In the line, you're going to put three different ways. So of each, you're going to make a category, and it's going to be three different ways in which people invest money. So the first one will be CDs. The second one will be real estate. The third one will be stocks. You all can sort of think in those categories, right? So let's find out in your areas what you think real estate's going to do in the next year. What percentage do you think it'll probably go up?
real estate going up in the next year?
So in your area, it's probably a negative, right?
Right.
Anybody else?
Where I just came back from, it went up 100%.
Last year, do you think it'll go up 100% this year?
No, it's in a slump.
Okay, so you think that'll be a negative.
So
anybody else?
It could be a 10% max.
Okay, 10% max. Anybody else? Have a guess for your area?
I don't know if they go up at all. Half the place is for sale.
Yep, Kevin, what do you think about your area?
Apparently around my area, the number of foreclosures is at an all-time high and it's kind of making the house market a little sluggish, hoping I qualify for my house when at the perfect time, in fact.
Okay, so we can all assume that it's going to be about a dead even at the very best. You're not going to lose anything. So if you put $1,000 into real estate this year, you probably get $1,000 back if you're good. Otherwise, you lose. How about CDs? What's that going to pay?
2 or 3% maybe?
$3
during the course of a year on $1,000 put into CDs. Well, if you're going to put $1,000 into the stock market, what's the average over the last 40 years? Anybody know that? What's the stock market?
Over the last how many years?
Over 40.
And about 15?
It's actually 11. So if we hit the average for the stock market, you would make $110 for the year. Now, what we were just talking about is if a person was to invest in Nikan and did the worst financial possibility, and that's to put $1,000 into buying 8 necklaces, and then what you're going to do with those necklaces is put them on somebody so that every single week you would take them off of a group of 8 people and on another group of 8 people. People think you could sell one necklace per week doing that.
Tried it. That sounds like an interesting idea.
If you took 8 necklaces and put them on 8 separate people and said you get to use this for 7 days. Want to find out how it works for you. What's the likelihood you'll sell one necklace in that 7-day period?
Okay, all right, okay. One out of the 8 is what you're talking about, right?
What's that?
You're saying you'll sell one out of the 8.
Right. You will?
I can't follow you. You're breaking up.
Shucks. Drives me crazy. I'll try to move to a different spot because I'm out on the road. So everybody believes you could probably sell one necklace a week doing that, right? If you were disciplined and you did that.
Should be able to.
That represents, let's say, $35 profit for every necklace that you sell. Times 52 weeks. Comes out to $850 or something like that. So for $850, that's $1,000 for your original investment, pays back your original investment completely. You still have the necklaces to put on other people, plus you made another $850 profit above and beyond. Is the $800 bigger than the $110 from real estate? And is the $850 bigger than the $30 you got in CDs? I mean, not real estate, but I mean stocks. So you see the comparison?
Yep.
It's a much, much, much better investment even if you did it that way. But if you leveraged and you just got one person to get one person, they all did $100, it comes out to you'd actually make $40,000 off of your original $1,000. And so if we made $40,000 off of our original $1,000, what percentage raise in the interest rate is that? It's more than the 11% we get in real estate. So if we start thinking in terms of what we can offer as far as an investment looks, isn't that an interesting proposition that no one ever brings up in our business?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And if you just strictly look at it from a profit standpoint, it's a lot easier decision to make. Plus, you end up with these amazing technologies. Anybody have any thoughts on that?
That's precisely why I got in. It's pretty much what you're discussing. That's pretty much exactly how I looked at it.
Well, now, let me ask this question, Kevin. How many people do you get that when you do an ABC, you're sitting down to show them the potential power, and you cover this kind of material?
I haven't used this the comparison with other investments yet. Perhaps I should work that in, although with the ABC guide strictly, it's kind of one of those duplication factors. I'm not sure how.
Well, at some point in the, here's something to ponder. I'm wondering why we can't sponsor people very quickly. Let's say you wanted to get somebody you're interviewing them for a job. What's the first question they're going to ask?
What are the benefits? How much do I make?
Yeah, how much do I make? And so if you're going to interview them to be a part of your NECAN team, doesn't it seem logical that they're going to want to know how much am I going to make?
Mm-hmm.
But do you have a strategy that somewhere along the line, is it going to be the second meeting, the third, the fourth, the fifth? Well, at what point do you talk about how you make what you make? Because if they're going to sit down and the very first thing they want to know is, how much can I make, and we never cover it, it's not a real big stretch of the imagination to figure out why nobody wants to start.
Good point.
All right. As you can tell, I generally get off subject from Terry. Thank God Terry's teaching from his call. That keeps us on track. But what I really want us to do is I want you guys to start grinding up and picking up some significant dollars. And if you're going to ask questions that are going to lead people to try to come to the question, do I want to be involved in NECAN, and you've all just said that you'd much rather talk about investments in your life than spending money on some fabulous product, maybe we better consider what we're doing with all of our time spent trying to get people to look at our fabulous product. We might, and we're not, the products have to be what they are. The products are amazing beyond belief. The products are awesome, and we aren't going to discount them in the least, and we have a company that really supports us in that. But what we really have to realize is, why do people change the course of their very, very busy lives? I guess it would be sort of like if you went down to Walmart and you got this really cool widget that works in the kitchen and whoops up eggs and says your name in three different languages. That's the coolest thing I ever saw. How likely are you to go make the intuitive leap that says, I know, I'm going to go buy me a Walmart? And that's what we're asking people to do in our NECAN business, is we want them to understand this return on investment concept, that when we team up together, we're out there to get hundreds of times return on investment in every one of the five pillars of health, but we're not representing that. And so it's not a real hard stretch of the imagination to see why people don't change their skepticism, don't change those busy points in their lives, because it just doesn't seem that the reality of the change would make any difference in their lives. Sharon?
Yes?
Before I dribble off into the West phone call, can you help us with our homework for the week?
Okay, for this week we're going to have Simply Speaking by Dennis Williams and chapters 9 through 12. Continue reading in the Michael Klaus book. And then I don't know. Does anyone want to know what the next week is, or just stick with this week?
Those 2 weeks, that week is all we need. But here's something I would really set as a goal out there. I love this idea of you all winning the cookware. I just think that'd be dandy because you do all the other stuff we need to do. But let's also come back next week with each one of your teams with the esteemed and dubious honor of being haired over. And that is that everybody on your team is a complete. This week was the strongest we've had yet.
Now,
so,
Jerry, real quick, I want to make sure that everyone got that you all have the phone numbers of your team members and you're clear on what it is for complete, but the most important thing is that everyone has their phone numbers.
This is a great place because I've got the West call on at the same time. I'll cover two things at once here. When you get together with your teams this week, when you're starting to make your calls and work together, it is very important to remember why the team exists. The team exists to make certain that you can get more momentum, more power, more strength, and more wins with all of you than you could by yourself. Everybody benefits from being in that team. And I'll tell this story. Larry Kropp, who was really the center of wisdom and heart in Neken for years and years and years, used to tell a story of a couple of bullies that would pick on these two little kids every day. And the two little kids were just friends, but they were a little bit timid. They weren't athletic like the big bullies were. And the bullies would take their lunch and do all that stuff. And finally it just came down to the bullies were harassing them one day, and they came up with this great deal because they'd been playing on the railroad tracks and they could walk down those railroad tracks a long time before they fell off. So one guy'd get up there and walk, and then he'd kind of lose his balance and fall off. And he said, "Okay, you little guy, if you can go farther than we did walking down the railroad tracks, we'll leave you alone." So the two kids reached across and grabbed hand in hand, one on one rail, the other one on the other, and they outwalked the bullies. That's what your team is about. Your team is about learning to do for you and with other teams and understanding how you're going to take that information, that life experience, to your groups when you become a P1 mentor. I want these teams to work, and I want them to work well. I want you to come up with things no one has ever thought before. I want you to support each other. I want you to support each other all the way through the end of the line. We have had some amazing teams, but we've never had all three teams amazing at once. Y'all get it?
Got it.
Good. See you next week.
Right.
Thanks, Uncle Gary.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Thanks.
Good night. Okay, let's see who braved the elements and was able to get in on the call. I don't think I'm... Lily, did you make it? Doggone it, Lily keeps trying. Jessica, did you wake up?
I am. I actually just set my alarm clock for 8:25.
All right, we got it.
I knew I was putting the child to bed, and I knew what would happen.
Kareem?
Yeah, I'm here.
Why is it that your phone gets through? Well, but you've had to do multiple before, haven't you?
This time I got through on the first try.
Me too.
First try. Oh, well, I hear Leslie and Trina, so that's, except for Lily. Is that Lily?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, hey, it's a full house.
Woo-hoo! I couldn't get through at the beginning.
Well, I know, that's, but you got here earlier than you usually do. This company is really starting to frost me.
Yes.
Today, we're going to do something cool. We're going to pick your teams.
Ooh.
And we just talked about the teams on the other call. Wasn't that a cute little story?
Mm-hmm.
That was, yeah.
Inspiring story about how teams work together. And what I'm going to do on these teams, there's going to be a team of three and a team of two. And it's much more important. I love this call. I really like this call because there's five people. And we can be a bit more intimate than we can in the larger teams. and I'm going to impart some things, and we're going to go over some stuff, and it's just, it just feels more homey. With your teams, there will be designed in large measure to make you learn. I'll give you another example of how teams work. Everybody hears me refer to Wolfgang a lot.
Yeah.
And Wolfgang Sonnenberg, when he got started, he took his initial group of people, the way he perceived his business, and he assumed that they were all going to be vice presidents. And so he interviewed them as if they were going to be vice presidents, and he would bring them on and say, I want you because of these skills, and you can add whatever you think you need to add. We all do similar things, but we also have unique things that we bring to the table. Well, you're going to work together as a team. And a couple things that he did were very interesting and have not yet been repeated, but I think it's just dumb to figure it out. We need to repeat these things. The first thing he did was to take his whole team out to a confidence course or a ropes course. Anybody hear one of those?
No.
That's where they put you up in a tree and they tie you up to a bunch of safety lines and then you have to walk.
Jerry.
Am I breaking up?
Yes.
Oh, I hear you just fine.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So walking in trees. And then the next thing you have to do is you have to leap across from one to another and you're 40 feet off the ground, you know, stuff like that. Confidence course. Scare the living piddle out of you, but you have to do it anyway for the team. And he said one of the most important efforts they made in working as a team was to, there was a 12-foot high, 12-foot wide wall. And it was a sheet of plywood. And the team had to come up with a way to get every member over the wall. It wasn't to get one member over the wall. It was to get every member over the wall. And they worked on that thing for 6 hours, trying to figure out how to finally get everybody over the wall. Imagine their exhilaration when they got the last person over. And the creativity and the frustration that they went through, but they started to gel and to work as a team. They understood what that meant. The next thing he said that was very difficult to do with that team was to take them all into a room and decide, we're not unlocking the door until we decide what this team is going to accomplish and how fast we're going to accomplish it. And he said there were many ideas that came up, but the hardest part of a meeting like that, he says, is getting everyone to agree on the same goal. Because if you don't have everybody to agree on the same goal, what happens?
You go in different directions.
You don't get the goal.
Yep, and you actually will have, can you see how some people will buy into the goal and work feverishly for it? And other people think it's a stupid goal and won't do anything, and you have animosity in the team, right?
Yeah.
Because now you got somebody's doing all the work and somebody's doing none of the work. Can you see how difficult it is to come to an agreement on what the team is going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's an interesting aspect of that. We all remember seeing these movies where the new coach comes into town and they begin to start to work out with the kids and they beat the living liver out of them. Day after day after day, these kids are just getting pounded. But looking for somebody to break, somebody to become the gel that pulls them together. He's looking, but it has to come from the ranks. Where if there's discrimination between parts of the team, it has to break down and they have to fight for each other. Classic example, remember the Titans. Anybody see that show?
Mm-hmm.
And what happens does anybody remember what happened to when it finally broke for that team? What happened?
They started winning games.
Well, it was one guy, and one and one white guy and one black guy, and they just went at it out on the field. One of them says, "Look, you're supposed to block for people," and the other one says, "You don't block for us because your people will step out of the way and my people get creamed." And they both kind of looked at each other like, "Holy cow, it's true." They became the best of friends in the deal, and it was quite a story what they pulled off. It was the first school that was ever unsegregated or segregated and or unsegregated, whatever they called it, and put them together, and there was fights, and there were people throwing beer bottles and the whole thing, and the parents were going nuts and doing all that, and the kids were just being abused, and yet they pulled it off because they came together. That's the idea that Wolfgang was able to pull off. So everybody knows, you know, the stats. Wolfgang, how long did it take him to go to a $100,000 check?
Very short period. I can't remember how it was so short.
2.5 years.
Yeah.
And it took him 3 years to get to a $150,000 check. Anybody on this call want one of those?
Yeah. Yes, please.
Mm-hmm. How about if you had to suffer through getting one every week or every month?
Oh, that'd be really difficult.
So this is really big stuff, but it makes it more fun. It makes it more fun as you pull together. So your aspects of doing it for someone else, if you've ever tried to exercise consistently, it's always easier if you do it with somebody else. If somebody's going to show up at the gym at 6 o'clock in the morning and they're there to honor you, you're going to be more likely to get there, right?
Right.
And it's a lot easier to work hard for that. We want to learn as P1 graduates how to do that with your teams and to say, I'm going to be here and I want to be able to believe that you're going to be here as well. Because it's a bond that will drive you through many, many, many things. So, the teams. You guys will have to write these down and remind me. Because I'm kind of thick-headed sometimes. I want Kareen.
Mm-hmm.
You will be with Jennifer. Jennifer's on the other call. Can't have you with Jennifer. Let's have you with Leslie. Let's have you with Leslie.
Okay.
And that leaves Jessica, Trina, and Lily on the other team.
Okay.
Now, you're gonna make the big effort to be haired over every week, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody on the team comes complete. And that's kind of how one is built, is everybody coming complete. Well, let's step it up a bit, because it's all about volume. Did you hear the challenge we made with the last group?
No.
Mm-hmm.
They got really excited about it. They thought it would be neat to have everybody win the cookware. Anybody on this call know how the cookware, or what the award is for that?
Yep. Is it the three new consultants or is it the three on auto ship? Three seniors.
You get three seniors. You get three first line seniors in 3 months plus a second line senior and you win the cookware.
Yeah, like it's not a draw and you just automatically win it?
Yep.
Oh, that's awesome. So three new seniors and then one underneath one of them.
Right, and you don't have to have a drawing, you just get it.
Oh, that's awesome, okay.
And you have 3 months to do that, or it has to be three seniors in one
February
month?
1st to August 30th. You have until August 30th.
Yeah, that's
right. Oh,
is
that right?
Yep.
No, April 30th.
April, I'm sorry, April. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Got my A-miss mixed up.
That's better.
So do you see how really feasible that could be?
Mm-hmm.
Man, this is doable. And in fact, as I was telling the other group, if you're going to graduate from this this class, you almost have to do it anyway. But it gives us some concretes, and I really, really like that, because now we're doing Niken things to get to our Pathfinder ends. Oh, I love how this is starting to fit together. On the 17th, we have the rhythm of the business, and everybody get to a rhythm event, because that's how we're going to start putting it together. That's how we're going to play this thing out. That's how we're going to get it all done. There is on the, we're going to learn this. You're seeing the formation of something huge. Well, they're actually, interestingly, this is a Wolfgang concept that they're starting to pull together. Wolfgang, when he started building Germany rapidly like that, he began to start to say that there will always be the same presentation on a given weekend every month. And so they were running an expo once a month, third Saturday. And you knew to schedule that out because that was going to be your time together. And then at that expo, they covered the same thing. So it became interchangeable parts. And on the interchangeable parts, then, it means if, for example, in this one, I'm going to be flying from Spokane to Kansas City. Dave Johnson is going to go from Spokane to Utah, and Brody Craney is coming up to Spokane, so we have interchangeable parts. Because it's going to be a whole lot more interesting when we start moving these things around, where every time we have one of these events, you guys get to see somebody new from some other part of the country that's a diamond or a royal diamond from somewhere else, right?
Yep.
Ooh, these rhythms are starting to make sense. Plus, when you get to be a diamond, and then you get to go other places, and you don't have to stay home all the time. Okay. So, let's go through and find out how you did this last week. Kareen, complete or incomplete?
Incomplete.
Trina?
Complete.
Complete?
Yep.
All right. Way to go. Okay, Leslie?
Incomplete.
We're going to work on that one. We're going to take some time and work on that one. Okay, let's, Lily?
Incomplete this time.
Okay, Jessica?
Incomplete.
Okay, now let's take a look at the, this is where I'm excited about this group. Well, I better not be yet. We better get through our stuff. Who has, let's go from top to bottom, and, Kareen, what did you pick up out of our reading this week?
I think I have it actually marked in my book. You think I would have had all my materials with me? I really like chapter 7 with the instant everything. How we're talking about how we are so used to getting everything so instantly. And it was nice to see that I actually have to work at it a little bit harder and that it's not supposed to be coming so easily, I guess. I was feeling like I was failing. And then it's like, okay, no, it's not actually because it wasn't ready in 3 minutes.
Yeah?
I was getting kind of frustrated, and then I read that chapter, and I was like, oh, I feel better.
Good. You feel, what were some you're getting from Niken so far in your experience with Niken? Do you feel like you're growing?
You cut out. What was that?
Do you feel like you've been growing with your experience in Niken?
Yes, I do.
And so even though you haven't, you climbed the ranks and got big checks or anything like that, do you feel like you're getting something more out of it?
Yes. It's given me a whole different way to look at even the relationships that I have outside of Lincoln.
Great.
And how to relate to those.
Jessica, your sense from the reading.
Well, I'm trying to get caught up from being behind, so I'm only at chapter 5. I also feel the same way because I've been doing some listening of CDs that a good friend of mine gave me and realized that if I'm going to take this seriously and this is going to be my business, then I have to put forth the effort in learning a new career and having the confidence that I don't need to beg somebody to buy some of these wonderful products. If the timing's right for them, they'll get them. If not, I'll move on. Because I've been wasting a lot of time just trying to convince people how wonderful it is, and I don't need to do that.
Can you all imagine this sentence to be true? Or maybe it's more than one sentence, but it's a thought. The professional network the amateur network marketer is in the convincing game. The professional is in the sorting game. So you're basically, as a professional, you are just trying to find somebody that already exists. And that's, so you're trying to flip over to be a professional now.
Right.
But you did be chapter 5, which was on the list for this week.
I just started it, so I've only read about a page.
All right, we're coming back to you on the other tape, though. So. Okay, then, Trina, what do you like?
I liked chapter 4 and chapter 7. chapter 4, where it relates to the World Championships of football, and it says, always seem that errors got more attention than successes, and that newspaper, television, media would highlight and analyze, discuss the mistakes. And then also in chapter 7, it kind of, both of those kind of go hand in hand. It says, it has three steps, actually two steps, but it says here, if there weren't a business model attached to my company's products, would I be buying them? And if I made a purchase without an opportunity to profit? I thought that was very, very interesting. And the part that I liked really well is tell the story, show the plan, and then ask your prospects if they would like to start dreaming again. Hmm. And then it says successful in more ways than one. Those are the two chapters that I like the most.
There's some wisdom in all of that stuff. Okay, Lily, what did you get?
Well, I got from chapter 5 the Clausian formula and all whatever he put together then, success plus desire, goals, and activity plus the improvement, personal improvement. And I think everything goes well together, but the activity is, I think, one of the very key issues, because you can have desire, you can have your goals, but if you don't do anything, you know, you're back to square one. And then as well, chapter 6, the 90-day success cycle, because it's the process that how you train your people to go through.
So that's what we'll be talking about at the 17th event.
Uh-huh.
Fit in with what Michael Klaus is teaching.
Uh-huh.
Great. Leslie, what did you pick up?
My favorite part was chapter 6 also, the 90-day. I loved how it, you know, we make these humongous goals and we're all excited to be millionaires and you're on your way to being a millionaire, but there's got to be a smaller focus to get started. And so I love the 90 days. I love how it told you, you know what, you get to those meetings and to the things that are going on, which means I have to go to Logan. It's an hour and a half away, 2 weekends in a row now. Okay, I'm not complaining. Because the 17th is Dave Johnson in Logan, and the next weekend is Humans Being More. So I'll be very happy to be on the road and listen to lots of audio on the way there. Okay. Both times. So yeah, it just reminded me that, you know what, the reason you go to those things is it helps, it reminds you why you're doing it. It helps you feel that feeling again of, okay, this is why I'm doing it, this is my reason why, I know I'm doing the right thing, and I'm going to do it. So that's what I liked about it.
I'm going to jump back a little bit to what Jessica was saying, and that is, if you're fully immersed in an occupation or a sport or a relationship, you remember those first few months when you found Mr. Right and you got really goo-goo-eyed and you couldn't pay any attention to anything else. At least I assume that's the way it was with girls, but if when you are in that, how much focus, how much time, how much energy do you put into it every day?
Lots.
A lot.
And the more you put in, it seems like the better it gets and the more intense it becomes and the focus is better. Can you see that the prospects you're talking to, do we sell that point or do we sell the opposite?
I think you sell that point because you're so excited and your energy is so high that people can feel that. In fact, I've been here with New Kim since May, and I just ran into some people I haven't seen all summer, and they said, wow, there's a huge change in you. What's happened? And I wasn't going to go into, oh, well, I'm going to Pathfinders and blah, blah, blah. And I just said, I got it, and I got the experience. And people say that all the time. Oh, you're just so nice to be around, and you're always, I love to talk to you, because you always have so much, you know, it's always upbeat. It's not this negative stuff.
And you know, what's interesting about that is because that's your body language speaking. But when we start to rationalize and start to do presentations, watch a lot of your people as you're becoming a leader. Well, when they're hot with that stuff and their body language believes this is the coolest thing I've ever, this is summer camp, man, I don't want it to ever end. And then one day they begin to start getting a few people that they hit them on the wrong day and they get negative. So then they begin to start to explain it in other ways. They start to try to talk in different ways. Then eventually they get to the point where they're begging people to come buy their products, or you don't have to really do any work when you get into this, or geez, you don't really need any money. I'll pay for your thing to get you in.
Yeah.
And we start to whittle it away, and then at that point, you've lost the magic. No one wants to follow you anymore. Nobody wants to just come up and say, what is with you? How come you're the happiest all the time? So we kind of self-struck by doing that. Kareen, have you been in long enough to see any of these things?
I don't know about fully self-destructing like that, but I can see how people can get discouraged. Like I said, I was kind of getting a little discouraged trying to get people to take a look or call me back or something. And if you, I don't know. I guess I had the microwave mentality to where it was supposed to be 5 minutes.
I'm going to bring up a real quick little point, and then we'll keep on subject here. But in some of the studies that we're doing about prospecting, about sponsoring, and that sort of thing, have any of you ever felt like you were actually in a position to interview somebody to join your team, as opposed to begging them to join your team?
You know, when you're begging, it comes off as, you need to do this for me. And if you're not begging and you're concentrating on their needs and what they need and what they want, it comes across as, I want to help you. This will help you. It, begging me and help me, help me, help me.
Hmm. That's good. That's good. But if anybody had the opportunity to set it up so that the person you're talking to feels like they would, they're trying to, they're excited to qualify to work with you. How many would like to get to that point?
I had one last week.
Oh, definitely.
Hey, what was that like?
It was.
How did that? Well, tell us the story.
Well, it's a guy that I work with, and they're always asking me because I haven't said anything, but I always bring my shakes in, and I always have my Rev, and so here I'm pouring water in this cup, and I'm dropping a little tablet in it, and it fizzes, and I have my big old jug of water, and they're like, oh my gosh, you know, you're just like a health nut, and I have my green bracelet that I always wear every day, and I'm, you know, I go in, and I'm always cheery, and so he's just like, so, he goes, okay, so I have to ask, what's with your shakes and your little blender and your little fizz thing? He goes, what is all that? And so I told him a little bit about it. I was like, oh, I said, well, it's my shakes. And he goes, well, what's that? I said, well, he goes, well, where do you get them and all that? And I was like, well, it's the company I'm involved in. He goes, a company that you're involved in? I said, yeah. And he goes, okay. And then we helped a customer, and I just left it alone. I just wanted to pique interest. I wanted to see if he was interested enough to ask me more questions instead of me bringing it back up. So I helped a customer, and he helped a customer, and I was just sitting there fiddling with my computer. Well, he comes over and leans over in my area. He goes, okay, I'm really interested. What is it that you've got going on? He goes, because I've seen you always bring in different things. And he goes, and then you brought this thing. It looks like a mud flap. He goes, what is all this? I'm like, well, I said, you know, I'm really glad you asked because I brought some stuff for you. He goes, really? And I said, yeah. So I gave him the first look. And then I gave him the first look. And then I brought him some testimonials with migraines because the conversations that we were having, he had really, really, really bad migraines. And he didn't realize that I picked up on that. And when I gave him the DVD and gave him the testimonials too, he's like, oh, my God. He was so excited. He's like, oh, my gosh, I get to go home and listen to it with my friend. And so it went just like that. And that's just how they've been going for me. And it's just been really, really cool. I haven't had to really say much.
There's a key in it. You've already stated, and I think it might have been even, who was it? Jessica, or Kareem, somebody said, what we're looking for in here, or one of the things that you did right, was you paid attention to who he was and what he wanted. So let's go over a couple of scenarios and see if we can figure out how to determine what people really want. Remember, we're gonna go the next step. What was the first thing we did in learning how to get out in front of people? What was our exercise?
Oh, how many people you can make smile and...
Yeah.
And
now we've gotten to a point where we've got people that are coming to the call incomplete, and we've got a large number of them on this call that are incomplete. And it's because our definitions are wrong again. And I think in large measure, maybe the definitions aren't so bad, but now we need to learn, wouldn't you all agree that we need to learn to turn it?
Mm-hmm.
We need to learn, how do you take this initial line of questioning and turn it around to where it benefits us and them at the same time? So let's play some scenarios and see if we can figure that out. Okay, so we're talking about getting some people to, we get them to smile, and we make them feel good about themselves. That's the key part. You make them feel good about themselves. But now you want to find out what they're interested in. Jessica, do do you, after some of the experiences and some of the homework you were doing this week, can you tell that there are some people who will ask questions that kind of say, it's not about you, it's about me?
Uh-huh.
And if they simply change the questions, you can give people all kinds of cool stuff about what they want. So what are some questions that we might use, just the simplest common denominator, just a couple of easy questions that we might use to get somebody to tell us what they want or what they like or who they are?
That if you phrase things, tell me a little bit more about this, or tell me a little bit about your family, or tell me a little bit about, and that can get them to open up. Instead of saying, well, this is, you know, I'm trying to think.
If you don't know, I think you're on the right track, and I want to come back to that, too, because I got a good point on that. If you don't know what a person likes or wants, can you all imagine that we'll talk too much?
Yep. Oh, absolutely.
And why will we talk too much if we don't have any idea what they like or want?
Because we're nervous and we don't know how to get them to talk to us. So we just start talking.
True. And Lily, what do you think? If we don't know what they like or want, why would we talk too much?
Because we're trying to. I guess I'm used to that. I'm used to that. To talking too much and saying too much.
Now let's think about this for a second. If we were. If you met somebody and they looked halfway interested, but you haven't taken the time to find out really who they are, then you have to start firing everything you ever heard of and look for a change of expression on their face, right? And if you don't quite get it, you're going to throw out more. If you don't quite get it, you're going to throw out more. You see how that works? You're just guessing and wondering about who they are and what motivates them. Do you think sometimes we're wrong? And it's been said that many times most distributors will only connect emotionally with about one-tenth of the people they talk to. And the reason is because that person's just like you. So when you pick up and you start to talk to someone and start to present what you find important, only 1 out of 10 is going to find those same things important. Everybody else will find something else interesting or important in the story. And you lost 90% of the people. Just a couple of simple questions. One would be, do you ever keep your options open? What does that make you think about? Leslie, if you were to ask somebody, you ever keep your options open, what do you think they're going to say?
Well, they're going to say yes because they don't want to seem closed-minded and not willing to listen.
Okay.
So it's a good open way to get them at least thinking.
If they say no, you pretty well know that you're not going to pursue this very hard, right?
Right.
Anything.
Yeah.
They're just like, okay, you know, hey, you want to hold the other end of the shower curtain because I need somebody to help me put this up, and we're done. Okay, that's one question. And I know a guy who likes to say, can I ask you a personal question? Just wondering, what motivates you more, stability or freedom? That'd be an interesting question to have the answer to, wouldn't it?
Then what do you do once they give you an answer?
You gotta go on.
Then you have to ask another question. And another question would be, well, this guy, he asked three questions, and he, it leads him to being able to find out what people really want. I can't remember what they are right now. I have to look them up. But what if you were to ask somebody, are you currently working a job from home? What are the two possible answers? Yes or no? And if they are, then we say, oh, that's great. What are you doing? And they say, well, I'm doing Melaleuca, I'm doing Amway, I'm doing Mary Kay and Tupperware. Really? How's it going for you? If you're interested in what they're talking about, they'll probably just bleed all over you, right?
Uh-huh.
So one question to ask is, are you currently working anything from home? Another one might be to ask, are you, here's one I used, and you know, this has worked surprisingly well. I would say something like, after seeing a Dennis Williams preview, I was learning last night that most people at age 45 can't possibly ever save enough money to retire, like almost everybody. Then I would say, here's the thing they were telling me. If you're 45 and you want to retire in 20 years, you have to take, well, what do you want to retire on? Let's say $60,000 a year. Well, with inflation at 3%, you'd have to make $108,000 just to have the same buying power that we currently have at 60. In order to have that, you'd have to have $2.4 million in the bank in order to retire. So what the guy was saying is, if you've got 20 years to do it and you start saving today, you'd have to save $100 more than you make every month in order to retire. Man, that got me thinking big time. I decided that it didn't matter what I did at work, and it didn't matter what job I could add to it, there was no way I was ever going to retire. So I had to start doing some serious thinking. What are you doing to retire, you can ask them. Can you, does that, what does that line of thinking do to you? Do y'all get turned off by that kind of line of thinking or questioning? Or does it make you interested?
No, it makes me interested because I didn't want to work till I'm 65.
Another way to figure it out, and there's a really cool little paper you can carry with you, and it says, if you want to figure out how much money you have to have in the bank, Wolfgang uses this one, take whatever you want to retire on, your yearly amount, multiply it by 14. So let's say, Kareen, give me a number. What do you want to retire on?
A month?
Yep.
10,000.
Okay, so you want to retire at $120,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
At $120,000, what's that times 14?
Oh, you're asking the wrong person if you want me to do math.
It is 1 million, 1.6 million, almost 1.7.
Okay, then we'd say, okay, now you don't have to tell anybody, Kareen, but if you wanted to retire soon, all you got to do is to take 1.6 million, subtract what you currently have in the bank, and that's all the rest you have to earn.
Wow. I should be there next month.
Isn't this an interesting line of questioning? And this is what I was doing with the group from the Midwest last call. Yeah, I asked this question. Let's see what your guys' answer would be. If you had some friends that maybe even just business acquaintances or somebody you work with who said, hey, why don't you bring your spouse or somebody over, or come on over if you're single. Kareen, you're single, right?
Well, yeah, I'm
listening,
but yeah, not married.
All right, and come on over, and we want to spend the evening looking at some really amazing products. That's option A. Option B is, hey, we're thinking about some investments, somebody on these investments, why don't you guys come over and let's talk about all the different possibilities we could do in maybe becoming investors together. Which evening would you be looking more forward to?
The investment one.
Probably the investment.
So that's two people who would say investments. Anybody else?
I would say the investments because they're saying look at it together, which means, okay, I'm not just buying products by myself.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a whole team.
Good. Trina, throw in on yours. Which would you rather do?
Oh, definitely investments.
Lee, which would you rather do?
Same also, investments.
So how many times do we ever ask people to come and look at the investment strategy of NECAN as opposed to the products of NECAN?
Well, I've never used that yet.
Yeah, but sometimes people think, well, you're just tricking us with words. That would be my concern with, I mean, that's really what it is.
Well, no, that's a great, Leslie, that is awesome. You get a happy face for bringing up a really good subject. Because, did anybody else think of that? That you're just tricking them with words?
To get them somewhere.
No.
What you're doing, Leslie, is because you believe that in your heart, every time you try to say something along the lines of investment, people will pick up that you think that you're tricking them with words, and you will bring out of them that objection. You will force them to make that objection.
So I will not be using that word.
That
or I got to change how I'm thinking about it.
Well, yeah, that's really true. Because what do you perceive NECAN is in its purest form? The thing you really want to put out there in the world?
How do I perceive it?
Yeah. What do you have to offer when you're sitting across the table from somebody?
That it's a way to make people healthy in all aspects of their lives.
Okay, good. In that sort of a relationship, then, you better stick with products.
But I probably don't want that
lifestyle.
But you'll have a harder time getting rich. So it's lifestyle that Lily, that you would throw out there kind of in that statement?
Right.
What about you, Trina? When you're sitting across the table from somebody, what is it that you really feel like has the greatest value you can offer to them?
God, I had it. No, I forgot. You know, I have to offer, you know, another way of looking at life, not being tied down, being open where you can dream, where your dreams become true, and they're just not a fantasy.
Okay, good. I'm going to remember some of these. And Jessica, what do you offer people? What's the best thing you're offering to them when you sit across the table from them?
Balance
in the lives. Okay, that's good. And Kareem, what's your take on it?
I think I'm kind of agreeing with Lily there with a lifestyle change, more freedom.
Okay, a lifestyle change and more freedom. Now, can you sense in all of those answers?
They're all warm, fuzzy feelings.
It would be real hard for somebody to say, okay, I know what to do. Give me the reins. Let me have this thing. I can tear it up. It's hard to define, right? Most people would love to work hard for a cause if they know what to do. Wouldn't you all agree with that?
Okay, really, really quick, Jay, so I understand. So what you're saying is by the descriptions that we gave of what we have to offer people, it doesn't come across as hard work and let's make this happen. Is that what you're saying?
They can't see how they could pick up one corner, you pick up the other corner, and you can start working at it.
Is it because we're giving them a warm fuzzy?
Yeah, it's something that's, if you remember back in one of the first statements we made was that Yeah, this business is about transferring a vision.
Mm-hmm.
And if you got a warm, fuzzy vision, but it's not very clear in
right.
this warm, then it would be hard to recruit other people to go to work with you because they're not really clear on what we're going to end up with when we get done. But if you have a really clear vision about laying pavers in your backyard to make a really cool patio, or putting in some shrubs in a very specific way, or at least a way that was kind of a pretty solid theme, and then you could play on the theme, can you see how people would jump in and go, gosh, you know, I can do that.
Okay, so what would be an ideal way for you, Jerry, to say what you have to offer people?
Whatever it is that drives you, that brings you to Nikken that you really want, you got to be able to incorporate in your discussion how other people can get that warm, fuzzy feeling. How do they know? And a lot of people, Jessica, do you remember in some of the tapes you've been listening to lately where it says you may want something, but the other person may want something completely different, and you just don't know it because you just, you're you. You see it in a certain way.
Right.
And so you may totally miss the mark, in fact, make them mad because they wanted something different completely. Here's an example that was used in one of the tapes that we were listening to. Lady said, a pastor was saying, what do you like about what you do? And, this lady says, I like people. I like the people part of what I do. And so he jumped on it and says, oh, I'm a people person too. And he went off and he started talking about this, about that. And it just gradually turned her off more and more and more. And she said, the reason is because you want, or you see it that if I say, I like the people part of what I do, that you're, because of your background, because of who you are, and because of what you like, that means that you just like interacting with people and sitting on the front porch swing, going through all their troubles in their life, making them happier and doing all that sort of thing. She said, well, here's the reality for me. That makes me nuts. She said, I'm a cocktail waitress. And for me, I know that people, when they come in, increase my revenues. And I know that there's a certain group of people that come in and just get sandwiches and beer, and I only get so much for tips. Then later on in the evening, another whole group of people come in, and that group of people will buy a prime rib, and they'll pay bigger tips because it's bigger stuff. And then she said, around 12 o'clock, between 12 o'clock and 2, all the people who got tips that night come and spend their tips on drinks where I work, and I get the biggest tips of all. So I love what I love about the work I do is the people, but it's because I manipulate them to get the cash.
Hmm.
And she had a totally different take than what he did. So if you're going to be talking to people and telling them your vision of what you do, it's what you want. And you can see how that would mess with what a lot of other people want. And they probably won't change.
Sorry,
wouldn't it be safer if we flipped it around?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. So
right.
If somebody asked you, what do? How do you put it back in their court? You know, like if you're at a gym and you see somebody is limping and they're asking you, well, how are you at home? You know, what do you do for a living? Are you a stay-at-home mom or what? How do you put that back on them to find out what they're looking for?
What you want to do is you want to have done your prospecting first. That's the purpose of prospecting before you get to it. Now, here's how I would do it. If I see somebody limping at the gym, I'm going to start with some goofy remark. Other people may be very respectful. I just thought about that today. In fact, I was going to play with that a little bit. And I was going to take it from a much more sort of British butler respectfulness, but basically saying, I would say something like, you know, some kid quit a skate on the stairs or something, huh?
Yeah, well, that would get them laughing and get them to smile, and that loosens them up right away.
And they would say, oh, geez, you know, it's kind of embarrassing, really. I was out working, I was just barbecuing, I stepped backwards, and I fell over, clump of grass, and broke my ankle. Oh, you professional barbecuer then? Well, I like barbecuing. Really? I always try to figure that out because I'm kind of colorblind and I can't, I'm not so good at barbecue, but I sure like eating it. So what's your favorite barbecue kind of stuff? Well, I like to do this and do that and do that. So, gosh, that's kind of interesting. Do you do it for a living or? No. You know, what I do is, I'm a manager. Well, what do you like about being a manager? I kind of like the control. I like to, not be the, you know, the peon that always gets bossed around. Like, I kind of like to. Well, what don't you like about what you do? Well, it just seems like every year things are just getting worse and worse and worse and worse. They just keep taking more away. They give me people that aren't motivated. People don't know how to work anymore. It drives me crazy. Wow. Huh. Hey, I noticed that lamp, but, you know, you could, some people would say, you want to buy my products? What? Where'd that come from? We've just been developing rapport. What I would probably do if I saw him limping is to say, well, what are you using for that limp? How long have you been at that? Does that keep you from doing what you want to do? Does that keep you from being working for a living? Then usually here's where I turn it. And if I'm going to deal with somebody who's got a limp and say, so you tried this, you tried this, you tried that. Have you ever tried biaxial rotation magnetics? What?
Yeah.
Oh, it's kind of like kissing upside down. You got to try it sometime. It's just awesome. I don't know. You know what, guys? I'm always a screwball. Sorry about that. But the line of questioning now has given me so much ammunition and information that if they come back and say, what do you do anyway? Kind of funny you ask, because I'm trying to make a habit out of helping managers who love to work with people, but to get dissatisfied with the direction that everything's going in their lives. And I'm teaching them how they can grab onto a whole new way of working without going back to school, recreate the life they wanted in the first place. Most amazing work I ever did.
Sign me up.
They go, geez, no kidding. Well, what's it all about? Why are you interested in stuff like that? Yeah. Well, how interested? Like, really interested. You mean you'd like to pick up a little on the side, do something different sometimes? Well, yeah, I mean, if it was the right thing, I'd be totally fired up about doing that. What do you know? Hey, let me finish my legs here on the workout. Tell you what, I'll go get you. I gotta get a pen. And when I come back, let's, you ever get time to meet at Starbucks or something? Great. Between now and then, I want you to go to this website, firstlook.biz. Check it out. If it's something that looks like there's a thread of something you might be interested in that, I'm going to call you back and we're going to talk about it. If not, I'll meet you here and watch you limp tomorrow. Now, I know that there's a lot of smart aleck, not reproducible comments in there. But the basic nature of it is you say to somebody, what do you like about what you do? What don't you like about what you do? Those two questions will tell you everything that you need to sponsor them.
Well, and you're talking about them, not about what you're doing. So you're finding out what they're looking for.
Yeah, and then when you see, here's what, I like it the way that Mac McDonald put it one time when a guy came up to a booth he was doing at a job fair. And Max said to him, well, what are you doing coming down to this event today? And he says, it's a job fair. I'm looking for a job. Stupid. So Max says, what kind are you looking for? I'm a welder. Looking for a welding job. Then Max says, so the guy goes, so what do you got here? Is there any welding here? And Max says, no, no welding, but let me ask you a couple questions. Did your last job, or what would you really like out of your work? What do you want out of your work? Do you want to get, retire early, great benefits, feel good about what you do every day, be around good, positive people, and be happy all the time? Yeah, that'd be great. That's exactly what I want to do, make a difference in the world. So Max says, did you get that out of the last job you were doing? Heck no, they suck. How about the job before that? No. How about the one before that? No. Max says, then what are you looking for a job for? Says, I'll tell you what we do. I take a look at what you have for desires and what you have for needs in your life. Then what I'll tell you is what we do, and if we can find a match, maybe we can work together. So when should we get together? You all see a difference in how this game is played?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Otherwise, what you have to do is you have to look and see, okay, now I've got this person down aisle four, and there's no escape on the backside. They can't crawl over the cereal boxes. I got them. And now I'm going to blast in machine gun with everything I got in the arsenal, and man, can I go for a long time. It's something that's going to make them click. And then they're going to go, oh, man, I got to do this. I got to jump in and be part of it for a lifetime. And you keep pounding at them and pounding at them and pounding at them, but you haven't got a clue where they are or what they want. Boy, did I ever get off track. Do y'all feel like we're on track tonight or crazy?
No, on track.
Okay, this is different than what Terry was covering, but I think it's important for you because you're finding it difficult to come to the table complete.
Yeah.
Can you see how in the scenarios that I'm working, I can get people to want to qualify for the position?
Yeah, you're making it. That's like Danny says, you're looking for people. You're interviewing for people to join your business. And you want to know if they have these qualifications. So it's
so
like taking it and putting it in a completely different realm than asking people to take a look at your, you know, like begging people to look at your products.
You want to come over to my house and with a bunch of other suckers and look at my products this week. And they go, no, I have an appointment to get typhoid and have 3 gasoline enemas on Thursday. I just can't come over. They'd rather have a 4-inch hole drilled in their foreheads than come to your house. Right?
Yep.
Because they're going, yeah, why would I only come over to your house whilst you enjoy what you enjoy and then you charge me for it? That'd be really cool.
Or be expected to buy something that I don't want or I'm not interested in.
So what do you say we start making some calls back and forth between your teams this week, and if you want, call me and say, hey, I'm gonna go out right now, and I'm gonna go take a look at some things, and we might go through some real simple parameters. This is something I always do when I take somebody out, and we just go out, and we just do some recruiting. Number one, you got to mark this down. Number one, pray that you don't worry about the outcome. Whatever it is okay by me. And I want to be a blessing to the person that I talk to so that just that when I walk away, they feel better. We've already gone through that stuff, right?
Okay.
Then number two rule when you're going out just to go out. Go to places where you should be. It's real hard to do, and it's real non-convincing for most people to go out recruiting for the sake of recruiting and then just starting to chase the prey. So, Corrine, if you went out and you took 2 or 3 hours because you had extra time off, what would you choose to do first just because you like it?
Oh,
coffee.
Okay, so you're going to be at a coffee place. Here's a rule to remember. The number one group of people in the world who has to listen to you are the ones that you're paying money to for their service. So if you're going out for coffee somewhere, those people have to listen to you. But what if we turn the tables then and say, instead of having them listen to us, how about if we take and turn the tables on them where we get to listen to them?
Mm-hmm.
And just be fascinated about how their life went, what got them to the place where they are now, and what are their goals and aspirations, and we can just sit back and listen to them go, that's cool. You're awesome. Tell me more. And be totally enveloped in it. Okay, everybody can do all that stuff, right?
Right.
But now the hard part, turning it.
Yep.
Right?
Yes.
Well, remember, the easiest way to turn it is to always make your presentation in the last 1 minute of your conversation. Then you can't get yourself in trouble. Remember what I do sometimes is, many times, I'll do it three times a day, is I'll say, your name was Tom. I'm going to remember that because you made an impression on me today. I'm going to write that down. What does that do for Tom?
Important.
And say, a card for the business here, I'm going to write it on the card. What if I call back 10 minutes later, an hour later, 2 days later, and say, Tom, I don't know if you remember me, but I've been thinking really hard about you. You ever keep your options open? What's he going to think? Do you think he'll review a 12-minute video and I could get him for a complete or incomplete? How many could I do in a day?
A lot.
Many.
Do you think I could do 5?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think Kareen could do 5?
Yeah.
Do you think...
You make it sound so easy.
You know what's really weird, Leslie?
What?
When you go out with somebody who does it, you will flat floor you. Because you'll go, we do that for a living?
Well, why... I'm just going to be honest. Why is it something unconsciously just either gets my day planned, or I talk myself out of it, or... What is it that just physically overcomes me that making those calls just seems impossible? And maybe
because
everyone else is doing great, but there is something physically keeping me from doing it.
Realize,
it's the weirdest sensation.
Realize we had a lot of people come in complete in the last 3 weeks.
I know, and it's the only reason I'm ever complete.
And the reason is because you can see, and this is just a guess, but tell me if you think I'm sort of on the right track. You can see the win for you, but you can't see the win for them, so you don't want to bring it up.
Yeah, because you almost talk yourself out of that they're going to need it or want it or want to listen to you.
Yeah, what's in it for them? What if the day you woke up in the morning and you knew that all the people you talked to that day, whatever their dreams and aspirations were, there's a 90% chance they'll never, ever, ever reach them. But at least you've got a chance for them to take a shot. And all your job is to do is to say, I don't know if this is for you, but at least it's a chance. You want to take a look? You can do that more easily than what you perceive we do.
Yeah. Every day that goes by, it gets harder. And I build it up even more and worse than what I'm making it.
That's because you're doing it on your own and you're applying your world view, your previous life experiences to Nikan. you have to have a full-on switch. You have to switch completely. And here's something real important, Leslie, to remember. Real important. If you came upon a family that was dying of thirst, and your dad told you were fat, dumb, and ugly, and every day you worry about that, and you just say, I have no value because I'm fat, dumb, and ugly because my dad said so when I was a kid. Should that stop you from telling the family that's dying from thirst how to get water?
No.
You're bringing water to a dying country. But there's something about you that you keep throwing up in the way and saying, I'm not worthy, or whatever, because you're misinterpreting this, the message, and you now become the message as opposed to the message being the message. You're simply the messenger. Do you think that family cares whether the person who comes to deliver the message is all done up beautiful, or if they only have one leg and they smell bad? They don't care. Not the messenger they care about, it's the message. And what we so often do, and that's why we have sober training first, is to get us out of the way. And oftentimes, for the most times, it doesn't work, but time around, it takes a while. A lot of people unravel all those years of preconditioning. We got to get to the point where we say, it doesn't matter that what I think about myself, the message works. The message is needed by somebody, and if I ask somebody all day long, I can walk around and say, are you the person who's been waiting for the message? No, that eventually he's going to say, what message? And say, listen to this. Now, somebody would get in for that, but if you made them feel like, I don't know if you're the person that's listening for this message, but this has been an absolute joy talking to you, and I can see all kinds of possibilities. I think it'd just be a blast to work with you, to review this, because I think we could tear this world up together. Even if they don't get it, they're not going to feel bad. But there's something you're throwing up, and that's maybe something we're going to have to dig out in private, away from these other people. Going, oh, I'm about to succeed. I better throw up on my shirt. It's like somebody told me one time, when you go to a big city and you're about to be mugged or something, wet your pants, no one will touch you. We've gone too long. You guys, I just adore all of you too much. And I want you to win really, really, really bad. Can you tell?
Yeah.
So let's have you do that to other people. And what you just say to them is, I don't know if you're going to get this or not, but I want you to win really, really, really bad. And I want you to take a look at this, because I know it works. I just know it works. Whether it's going to work for you or your timing's right, that's your decision. But I just know it works. Get yourself the heck out of the way. Agreed?
Three
more chapters and in our book, and then...
Is that 10, 11, 12?
Right. And yes. Then Terry gave you the homework. Did anybody pick up the homework? Let's see if you listened to your tape.
I listened. Or, I mean, I have the homework.
What is it?
Simply Speaking by Dennis Williams, and the next... Is it three or four chapters? Because they said 9 through 12.
It should be four.
Four, okay.
Right. You guys, I just walked into the store. Some kid walked up, and he was real friendly, and he said, hi, beware, it's 10:30 at night, or whatever it is, 9:45 or whatever. He's going to get recruited, and you guys are going to be sitting at home in your cozy little chairs, and I'm going to get one.
No fishing, Jerry.
Okay, thanks, Jerry.
All right. Everybody's going platinum. No screwing around this silver and gold stuff. Let's get there.
Okay.
Good night, all.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.